Okay. Okay, so in the middle of our sugya of Bittul, if you recall from yesterday, we're in the middle of, you know, the first of the of our impacted issues, which is the question of whether Bittul, in addition to neutralizing Bayo or Bayamatzek, whether Bittul is also Mekayim, the mitzvah asay of Tashbisu. So yesterday, last night, we analyzed this question of whether Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisu within the Mahalach of Afra Da'ara. We analyzed the machlokis within the mepharshim who adopt the Afra Da'ara approach. We basically saw a machlokis within those mepharshim as to whether the Bittul midin Afra Da'ara is going to be Mekayim, the mitzvah zaseh of Tashbisu. And we developed yesterday that the nukudas hamachlokes between these two different approaches within Afra Da'ara as to whether the bittul midin Afra Da'ara is mekayim tashbisu really relates to the nature of tashbisu, and whether the geder of tashbisu requires a physical destruction. Right? In which case, right, if tashbisu requires physical destruction, then bittul midin afra da'ara is not going to be mekayim tashbisu, right? Because bittul midin afra da'ara, you know, might be a psychological, might be a subjective destruction of the chametz, but clearly isn't a physical destruction of the chametz. Again, so if you assume that tashbisu requires a physical destruction, so that would explain why the mefarshim who say that bittul midin afra da'ara is not mekayim tashbisu, while the mefarshim such as Rashi and the Rambam would think that bittul midin afra da'ara is Mekayim Tashbisu, so they're going to say that the Geder of Tashbisu includes a psychological, a subjective destruction. To quote Rashi's Lashon of Hashpasa Delev Havi Hashpasa, right? As long as the person, right, destroys the Chametz subjectively in his mind, that's going to suffice. So again, just to summarize, right, the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the within the Afra Da'ara approaches, between the Mefarshim who say that there is a Kiyum of Tashbisu and those who say it's not, again, relates to the question of whether the Geder of Tashbisu is a physical destruction or whether it also includes a psychological, subjective destruction. So today, or tonight, we'd like to discuss now the same question of whether Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisu, right, not within the Afra Da'ara approach, but now within the Hefker approach, right? And as you can imagine, right, the approach of Hefker, right, if Bittul works midin hefker, so then Bittul in no way is destroying the Chefza of Chametz, right? Not physically, and not even subjectively or psychologically, right? While Afra Da'ara, you basically transform the Chametz into Afar, into dirt, and that can be seen as a psychological, a subjective, you know, destruction of the Chametz. Hefker doesn't relate to the Chefza of Chametz at all. You basically just declare it ownerless. Your mafkia, your bilus of the chametz on the chametz, but you in no way, according to the hefker approach to bittul, right, transform or destroy the chetza of chametz in any way. So therefore, we're going to see that the mefarshim who adopt the hefker approach, right, the simple, you know, option, you know, is to say that if you adopt the hefker approach, then you're going to say that there's no kiyum in tashbisu, right? Because the simple understanding is that if you adopt the hefker approach, so then there's no kiyum in tashbisu because in no way did the maisa hefker destroy the chametz in any way. So again, that's going to be the first option within the hefker approach, is that bittul midin hefker is not going to be mekayim tashbisu simply because a maisa hefker or any form of hefker in no way destroys the chefza of chametz. Right, and we're going to prove that now within a number of mefarshim, again, mefarshim who adopt the hefker approach to bittul, who are going to simply say, therefore, that there is no kiyum of tashbisu to the act of bittul midin hefker. So within this first option, again, that bittul midin hefker is not mekayim tashbisu, the first prominent rishon who accepts this option is Tosfos Dalet Amud Beis. So if everyone can open up Tosfos Dalet Amud Beis, again, it's going to be very important to carefully analyze, right, the question and answer and the transition within Tosas. Tosas Dalam Beis Dibra Matzchol Midol Raisa. So as we said last time, we'll read it right now. The synopsis is that Tosos basically rejects Rashi and says that Bittul is not Mekayim Tashbisu, and he proves it through a number of Rayos, and therefore he says, oh, once Bittul is not Mekayim Tashbisu, the Pshat in Bittul, it rather is Midin Hefker. But let's just read the Tosas again, and because we I want to focus specifically on the transition between Tosfos's Rios against Rashi, and then his transition to his own pshat of Midin Hefker. Because we always have to analyze: do the questions, do the Rios of Tosfos automatically lead to the alternative that Tosfos gives, or could there have been a different way that Tosfos would have gone? So let's read the Tosfos again. Danny, would you mind?
Sure. Pirush Bekuntres, Midrash of Vidal Amasagi. Pirush Bekuntres, Midichsev, Tashvisu, Vloksev Tivaru, Amashvasu Belevki.
Oh, sorry, what's Shitas Rashi? That Bittel what?
That Bittel is different than Tivaru, and it just has to do with
the right, that Bittel's Mekayim Tashvisu, because Tashvisu all requires a psychological destruction, as inferred from the Pasuk, which utilizes the Lashon HaTashbisu and not Tivaru. Okay, fine.
The Kashulari, the High Hashbasa, Havarahi, the Lo Bittel, the Tanya, Vishnuaitin, Arvikiva Omer, Ain Tzarech, Harihu Omer Tashbisu, Umatinu, Lehavara, Shihi Abnulapa.
Okay, so what's the first Raya? What is Tosa trying to prove?
We said that Hashbasa and Tashbisu is the same as Tivaru.
Exactly, and Havara is what? What type of destruction?
Is a physical destruction.
Exactly, right. So Tosa is trying to prove, Rashi, what are you talking about that a psychological destruction of Bittel is going to be Mekayim Tashbisu? I'm going to prove to you that no, Tashbisu requires a physical destruction, right? And Raya number one is the fact that Rukiva, in the context of trying to prove the Zman of Tashbisu, basically says, the Zman of Tashbisu, right, Tashbisu can't apply on Yontif, because the act of Tashbisu is going to violate one of the Malachos on Yontif, obviously assuming that it's a physical destruction. That's Raya number one.
So, oh, the Tashbisu, Amrina and Lekaman,
Me'ach,
Chelek, Shvu, Nishesha, Uzumara, Ve'achar Yisura, Lo Mehani, Bito, Ve'omari,
Let's just stop there. So what's the second Raya?
Right.
So what's the Zman of Tashbisu? So when does
you can't do it from Sheshaos on,
or that you
Yisura.
I mean that the Zman of Tashbisu is specifically when
before the Yisura.
Well, Tashbisu is Mishesh, exactly. But Bittel is what you're referring to. But Bittel is before, right? So Tosa says, another Raya that Bittel can't fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu is that the timing doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. The Zman of Tashbisu is specifically La'achar Zman Yisuro, and La'achar Zman Yisuro is specifically when Bittel is ineffective, doesn't work. What did Tosos just do, right? Tosos, he never disproved Rashi's perspective of Bittel Midin Afer Da'ara, right? He never brings a raya to say that Bittel isn't Midin Afer Da'ara. All Tosos disproves is that what? Is that Bittel's Mekayim Tashbisu. Remember, we pointed out there are two aspects to Shitas Rashi on Bittel. Right, two assumptions. Assumption number one, according to Rashi, is that Bittel works Midin Afer Da'ara. That Bittel is all about the person subjectively, turning the Chametz into Afer. Point number one in Rashi. Point number two in Rashi is that Bittel Midin Afer Da'ara is Mekayim Tashbisu. Fine. All Tosfos does in these questions is disprove point number two, is disprove the fact that Bittel can be Mekayim Tashbisu. But the question now is, but after these questions, not only does Tosfos say that Bittel can't be Mekayim Tashbisu, he also drops point one in Rashi and says, must be that Bittel isn't working Midin Afer Da'ara, it's rather working Midin what, according to Tosfos? Hefker. And the question is, how does Tosas jump from his questions to his alternative mahalach? All Tosas disproved was the fact that Tosas proves that Bittel can't be Mekayim Tashbisu. Fine. But why doesn't Tosas accept the other part of Shitas Rashi and say, no, that, okay, I'll accept the first part of Shitas Rashi, that Bittel works Midin Afer Da'ara, and Enechanami, that the Bittel of Afer Da'ara only gets around by Matzeh, but isn't Mekayim Tashbisu? Right, we saw Rishonim yesterday, Rabbeinu Manoach, right? This Rabbeinu David, the second day in the Ramban, who all said exactly that mahalach, that Bittel works Midin Afer Da'ara, even though it's not Mekayim Tashbisu. So the question is, how does Tosos get from his questions to now rejecting Rashi's entire Shita, not only the aspect of Shita's Rashi that Bittul is Mekayim Tashbisu, but also the part that Bittul is Midin Avra Da'ara. Yeah. But that only goes in one direction. That tells you, you're 100% right, that tells you that you're saying within Tosos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so, and the basis of that would be, which Tosos? Okay, good. Chavtasim is good. And it actually works out because that is the sheet of the Ri, and this is also the sheet of the Ri. So it actually, right, sometimes it's always tricky to put Tosasim together because there are different Bali Tosas, but it happens to be the Tosas and Chavtasim Vez, I believe, is the sheet of the Ri. I'm almost 100% sure about that. Yeah, Mikan Mochiach Ri, and here it's Venir L'Ri. So again, you definitely could align those sheetos. But even though, the connection between Tashbisu and Vayor Vayamatzei says that if something is Mekayim Tashbisu, so then, it doesn't tell you that you can't get around Vayor Vayamatzei without Tashbisu. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it goes in one direction. So, yeah.
Maybe he believes that Rashi only requires Afar because Rashi only requires Afar in order to be Mekayim Tashbisu.
That is Shita's Rashi, but I'm saying are a number of Rishonim who take the Afra Da'ara approach and say, but it's Dafka Din Bar Bay Matzeh, right? That was the second day of Maskana of the Ramban, Rabbeinu David, and Rabbeinu Manoah, right? All three of those Rishonim all say this idea that, Bittul's Medin Afra Da'ara, even though, Tashbisu requires a physical destruction. So why couldn't Tosos simply adopt that approach? Where is Tosos Hechreach that not only, right, even though his Rayas are only disproving that Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisu, he also drops Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara? Alright, it's a valid question at least. Any other question? Yeah?
Is it because all the other Rishonim, like the Ramban, Rabbi Yom Noach, they all learn out Bittul from the Pasuk of Lo Yir Alecha, but Tosos, who learns out the mitzvah of Bittul from the Pasuk of Tashbisu,
he learns out the what?
The mitzvah of Bittul from the pasuk of he doesn't.
No, he meaning the heter for Tosfos is also Ataroa Shalachrim Mishal Gavoa. That's actually derived from the pasuk of Bar Yerubay Matze, because the pasuk says Lo Yerah Lecha Seor. So the Gemara Darshan Shalcha Iataroa Val Ataroa Shalachrim Mishal Gavoa. Right. So Tosfos is also coming from Bar Yerubay Matze. The question is why. How does Tosos know that it's only Midin Hefker? Right? Why can't it also be Midin Afra Da'ara? Right, so that's a question. I think it's a valid question. Even Yaakov agrees? Okay. All right? It's not a small thing. So the simple answer to this question would be, wait a second. And we'll see if there's going to be a quick problem with this, and then we'll have to resolve that. Right? But the basic answer to this is that, in order to assume that Bittul works Midin Afra Da'ara, you have to assume what about the nature of Bar Yerubay Matzeh? Right? If the fact that the person subjectively relates to the chametz as afar, the fact that that is able to undermine Bar Yerubay Matzeh, what does that tell you about Bar Yerubay Matzeh? That it's subjective. So the simple answer would be, maybe Tosos is uncomfortable with Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara because he doesn't think that Bar Yerubay Matzeh, by its nature, is subjective. And therefore, he has to come onto more of an objective perspective on Bittul, a Bittul Midin Hefker, where Bittul Midin Hefker works objectively. You objectively, take the chametz out of your shus, you no longer own it, so therefore that's an objective, change. So you could have said, Tosos, the reason why Tosos rejects Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara is because Tosos is uncomfortable with such a subjective approach to Bal Yerubay Matzeh. That's what you could have said. But what's the problem with that?
Repeat,
right? The simple answer, right? In short, the question is, why, without any rayos, Tosos rejects the Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara, right? All he has rayos against is that Bittul's Mekayim Tashbisu. He has no rayos against Bittul working Midin Afra Da'ara. But yet, he rejects that and just adopts Bittul Midin Hefker. So the question we're asking is that if Tosos has no rayos for that rejection, so what's the basis of Tosos' rejection of Shita's Rashi of Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara? So I would say that the simple explanation for why Tosas would reject Bitl Midin Afradara is if Tosas says, wait a second, the major assumption of Bitl Midin Afradara is that Bai Rabbi Matzah is subjective, such that the person merely relating to the Chametz as Afar is going to circumvent, is going to neutralize Bai Rabbi Matzah. As we pointed out before, that perspective of Bitl Midin Afar neutralizing Bai Rabbi Matzah assumes that the koveya for Bai Rabbi Matzah is also subjective, and therefore once the person relates to the Chametz as Afar, Bai Rabbi Matzah is not violated. That's what would be the simple answer to Tosos. But the problem is,
the Hefker is an objective thing.
Yeah, Hefker is objective because objectively you no longer own it. And one of the Tanayim of Bai Rabbi Matzah is that you have to be an owner of the Chametz. So what's the problem?
Exactly.
The problem with that is that Shita, and this is again why we did the Hakdamah here, right? Tosos and Chaval of Amin Aleph clearly adopts a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah to say that you only violate Bai Rabbi Matzah when the person knows about the Chametz. Right? So at first glance, it seems like, how can Tosas reject Bitl Midin Afradara based on a rejection of a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah if Tosas clearly adopts a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah as seen, as indicated by a Shita of Yediyah? So what's the answer?
I just asked a question.
Yeah, what's the question?
We're saying conceptually that it's because of a Shita about Bai Rabbi Matzah, but based on what we said earlier, that Rashi's whole Shita on Bai Rabbi Matzah comes from Tashbisa, shouldn't it start with Tashbisa conceptually? Like, how you understand that?
It didn't have to be that way. If, I'm saying, I'll repeat. Ramban, Maskana, Rabbeinu David, Rabbeinu Manoach, they all say this Bitl Midin Afradara without any connection to Tashbisu. Right? So there is a way of saying Bitl Midin Afradara works simply because you adopt a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah, such that, yeah, once you subjectively view the Chametz as offer, that's going to negate Bai Rabbi Matzah. Just because Rashi takes the Tashbisu route, that doesn't mean that you have to. So I'm basically asking, why can't Tosas agree with Ramban, Rabbeinu David, and Rabbeinu Menach? He never disproves it. So if Tosas disregarded and completely rejected the subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah, then that would be a simple answer. Because Abed Ramban, Rabbeinu David, and Rabbeinu Menach all have to hold of a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah. So maybe Tosas rejects that. But you see from Tosas Chaval of Amin Aleph that Tosas accepts a subjective approach to Bai Rabbi Matzah. Yeah,
it might just be repeating what Chaim said, but without the limud from Tashbisu teaches you that Bitl believe is a Lima Tashbisu, where do you even get the concept that you can just
Licha.
In the Afadar?
Licha. Again, if you're repeating him, I'll repeat. Meaning, Ramban, Rabbeinu David, and Rabbeinu Menoach, all derived in the Sifrei.
Well, Ramban and Rabbeinu David are a little bit different because of the Sound of Kossi.
True, but what's the core of that? The drasha is from Lecha.
But that's fine, because according to Rabbeinu David and Ramban, and Rabbeinu Menoach is an issue, but according to Rabbeinu David and Ramban, because objectively it's Afadara,
it means subjectively it's Afadara.
No, but also because they learn Asana Kosev.
No, but that's all subjective. Asana Kosev is all basically saying the Torah is only going to place it in your Rishus when you subjectively relate to it as Chametz.
Right, so if you don't need to touch
the Lim
Tashmisa, that's there.
Correct, but I know, but they're all deriving from the Sifrei that it comes from the Pasuk of Lecha. Lecha tells you, Lecha, it's only in your perspective, as long as Batal Belibcha, as long as you relate to it, not as Chametz, but as Afradara, then that suffices. So the question basically is, why can't Tosas go that route?
Perhaps that's as indicated by the fact that Tosfos doesn't argue with Rashi based on saying that he's fundamentally misunderstanding Tashbisu, is that maybe Tosfos actually agrees that the idea of Tashbisu and Ba'ira is fundamentally subjective, but the only way of getting out of that of that subjective relationship would be theoretically through Tashbisu, but as he proves from...
But why?
What?
Why?
What? Because of the fact because of the intrinsic connection, you could say that Tosfos.
I know you like that idea, but
okay.
If you say why is that relevant?
If we say that Tosfos takes the approach that the only way of getting out of Bayer, with Chametz in your shoes is through Tashbisu.
I'm asking. that's an assumption.
Right. So why I'm, would I'm, well, I'm trying in order to answer this question, I'm saying.
No, and, you're taking that as an assumption.
No, but I'm saying, I'm making these assumptions in order to arrive at a resolution of your question.
Okay.
So if we say that, and we can understand, fine. So for the technical reason, the fact that that Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara like about Rabbi Akiva seems to be mokrah that that Bittul would not be a Kim of Teshbisu, so fine, we can't say that Bittul is a Kim of Teshbisu. Therefore, once Bittul is not a Kim of Teshbisu, the only other way outside of Teshbisu, you could say according to Tosfos, of not being over by your own, I'd say, is to get it objectively out of your issues, which is through
Hefker. I'm asking why.
So
I'm asking, once Tosfos...
I'm saying that Tosfos would hold that that's because of a certain relationship between Ba'yir and Teshbisu, and the fact that you have to be Mekai and Teshbisu basically in order to get out of Ba'yir.
Well, that's not true.
But why not?
Because through Hefker you get out of Ba'yir.
No, but I'm saying that's an objective thing. I'm saying Teshbisu.
But why?
In the realm, obviously, objectively, you would be able to
get out of it. I'm saying, but Mekai, why? You just made that up. Why can't you get out of it? Why? Just like you can get out of Ba'yir by Matze on an objectively, why can't you get out of Ba'yir by Matze subjectively, especially given Tosfos and Chafalov, who accepts a subjective approach to Ba'yir by Matze?
No, but I'm saying,
once you're in the subjective realm, you have to come through the method of Tashbisu?
No, I'm not saying you have to, but I'm saying if we're to resolve your question on Tosfos.
No, to resolve it, you have to say you have to.
What?
It's only an answer if you assume that you have to.
So, let's say that we. It's not a huge assumption. We know there is a link between Teshbisu and
Ba'yir. We know.
So you could say that the only way to subjectively get out of Ba'yir.
What? You're just saying. You're just assuming. You're not explaining.
Well, I'm saying it's not such a big assumption to make. If we understand there's a link between Ba'yir and Teshbisu.
I still don't think you're explaining. I feel like they're hands. Aaron? Can you have it? No?
Yeah, didn't we just mention that they can be different validations?
What?
Didn't we just mention a few minutes ago that they could be different validations?
Yes. Is there a re there? Okay, so that's one way you can go. You could say that Stavka, you could say that the Tulsan don't align, 100%. Okay, that'd be one way to say it. But I'd like to suggest another answer, which would say even if they do align. And that is that not all cases of subjective Ba'yir by Matze were created equal. And that is, right, the assumption of my question is that once Tosos adopts the subjective Ba'yir by Matze in terms of requiring Yediyah, so then why wouldn't Tosos also accept the subjective approach to Ba'yir by Matze to say that Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara would also undermine Ba'yir by Matze? That's my assumption. But I think there's a clear chiluk between the two examples. And that is, for Tosfos to say on Chaf Aleph, right, that without any Yediyah, you don't violate Ba'yir by Matze, that's basically saying that without Yediyah, in that case, the person has no connection whatsoever to the Chametz. So Shitas Tosfos, in light of Chaf Aleph and Aleph, is saying that yes, Tosfos accepts the subjective approach to Ba'yir by Matze to say that you need to have some connection to some engagement with the chametz in order to violate Ba'yir by Matze, as defined by Tosos, by Yediyah. If you don't even know that it exists, so then, says Tosos, you have no connection to the chametz, and therefore you're not going to violate Ba'yir by Matze. But here, in order to say that Bittul works Medin Afer Da'ara, you're taking an even bigger chiddush of subjective approach to Ba'yir by Matze, because you're saying, even though you know about the chametz, you know it, you see it, you know everything about it, the fact that I relate to it not as chametz but as afar, that's going to neutralize the Isur Ba'yir by Matze. So maybe Tosos says, I adopt this subjective approach to say that you need some type of relationship to the chametz in order to violate Ba'yir by Matze, and that's why you're not going to violate Ba'yir by Matze until there's Yediyah. But what Tosfos is not going to accept is the even bigger chiddush of the Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara approach, which says that even in a case where you have a full engagement with the chametz, you know about it, you see it, But as long as I decide in my mind that I don't relate to it as chametz, but rather as afar, that that's going to neutralize bayrei matzei. So in short, the answer to the original question is that the reason why Tosos rejects the bitul midin afar da'ar approach, because he doesn't take the yisod of bayrei matzei being subjective so far to say that the mere fact that you relate to the chametz as dirt, that that's going to undermine the Easter of bayrei matzei. According to Shita Tosos, as long as you have a basic relationship with the chametz as established by the fact that you know about it, that sufficiently connects you to the chametz to violate bayrei matzei, and therefore you're going to violate, even though you happen to relate to it as afar. For Tosos, that you don't need such a high level subjective relationship to chametz to not only know about it but also to relate to it as chametz in order to violate bayrei matzei. That makes sense. So in short, the answer to Tosos is that the reason why Tosos rejects the bitul midin afar da'ar approach is because he doesn't take the subjective approach to bayrei matzei so far to say that the mere fact that you relate to the chametz as dirt is going to dictate that this doesn't have a shem chametz in bayrei matzei. That is taking the subjective approach to bayrei matzei too far for Tosos. While Tosos accepts the subjective approach to bayrei matzei, he only says it on Chaf Aleph to a much lesser degree to say you need some type of relationship to the chametz as determined by Yediyah, but he's not willing to take it to the next step. So that's why Tosos, without any rayos against bitul midin afra da'ara, is going to reject it because he's uncomfortable with the notion of the mere subjectively relating to the chametz as afra. He doesn't think that that alone is going to neutralize bayrei matzei. Okay. So far we've had, again, big picture. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to organize the Rishonim who accept the bitul midin the bitul midin hefker approach, and thereby think that bitul midin hefker is not mekayim tashbisu. So again, the first mefarish on the list was Tosos. Again, Tosos holds that bitul is midin hefker, and Lishitaso therefore says it's not mekayim tashbisu. And we say that's very simple to understand, because if you're being mafker the item and you don't relate, you don't transform, you don't destroy the chetza of chametz in any way, so then it seems very simple why the bitul midin hefker would not be mekayim the mitzvah sase of tashbisu, in addition to neutralizing bayrei matzei. The next rishon, or next day in a rishon, who, right again, within the hefker approach, thinks that bittul is not mekayim tashbisu. If you turn to the Ran, again, that same amid in the Ran, daf aleph, amid aleph, bedap erif. As you can tell, this is a loaded, Ran. Each piece here is really gold. So again, looking at divrei matzchol hari sha'amra Torah. So here the Ran has two different deos about whether bittul is mekayim tashbisu. So we'll start with the second deo. Again, in the old Surah Sadaf, it's the second wide line. And the fourth word is inami. If someone can find that in the Oz Bahadur version, that would be great. But again, for the old Surah Sadaf, it's the second wide line, starting with the words inami. Mordechai, would you go for it?
I have no idea where it is.
Do you have the old version?
Third to last line.
What?
Third to last line
in which column?
In Harei.
In what?
In the paragraph Harei.
Okay, third to last line in the paragraph Harei. Right, so the second day of the Ran, again, is in line with Tosos to say, again, remember, the Ran Shita is that Bittul works midin Hefker, again, a certain version of Hefker, but generally he subscribes to the Hefker approach. And again, so the Ran's second day aligns with Tosos to say that because Bittul works midin Hefker, the simple understanding is that Hefker is not Mekayim Tashbisu, because in what way does Hefker destroy the Chatz of Chametz? It doesn't destroy it physically, and it doesn't destroy it psychologically. In no way does it destroy the Chametz, it just takes it out of your Rishus, and in what way would that be a Kiyum of Tashbisu? So again, the first approach, and the first option within the Hefker approach to Bittul is that because Bittul works midin Hefker, therefore it's not going to be Mekayim Tashbisu. But that's going to bring us now to the second option, which is a much bigger chiddush, to say that even within bittul working midin hefker, there is going to be a tzad in the Rishonim to say that even that form of bitul midin hefker, even that is going to be mekayim tashbisu. And that actually comes from the first day in the Rambam. So if you go back to the beginning of that paragraph of Harei Mordechai, so here again it's very important to understand this first daya in light of the next paragraph in the Rambam, where the Rambam adopts a version of bitul midin hefker, where the purpose of bitul is again as a way of preventing the Torah from placing it in your rishus. Again, once you have the giloy das, once you demonstrate, according to the Rambam, once you demonstrate your das, you don't want to be the bayim of this chametz, the Torah doesn't place any rishus. So even though the Rambam adopts that approach to bittul, which seemingly in no way relates to the chetzah of chametz, doesn't destroy it in any way, yet the Rambam, in his first daya, is going to say that, like Rashi, that bittul is going to be mekayim tashbisu. But it's going to be a much bigger chiddush than Rashi, because Rashi says that within the afra da'ar approach. And that, once you say that tashbisu is hashbasa b'lev, you can understand why bittul midin afra da'ara, which destroys the chametz, and from a psychological standpoint, why that could be a kima tashbisu once you assume that tashbisu includes psychological. But for the Ran, who says that it's a form of hefker, which has no destruction of the chetza of chametz, the fact that he too, within this first day, accepts this tzad that bittul is mekayim tashbisu is going to be a big chiddush we have to understand. So I'll just read, if you don't mind, Mordechai. Harish Amr Torah.
Harish Amr Torah, but Yom Rish on the Shvisa Arbi Vatechen, because I'm reading the Gemara, the Dereis of the Vittal Mamasagi. The Dereis of Vittal Zal is enough. We now know that Sir Tashvisu looks at Dvar, Sir Tashvisu at Dvar, so we learn that Vittal is enough. All of the Sofer, it doesn't say Dvar, the Sofer, Kainian, Shepirish, and Shivirashti.
Right, the fact that it doesn't use the Lashonis that it uses in the context of Avodah Zarah, where it's clear that the connotation is that you need a physical destruction, the fact that it doesn't use the terms of Tivaro or Tisrafu, which have physical connotations, and yet it uses the word, the Lashon of Tashbisu, so it tells us that includes Bittul as well. That's Shitas Rashi. Lufi. So the first day, right? So the first day in the Ran is that bittul is mekayim tashbisu. And the big question now is, how do you align these two shitos? How can the Ran, who holds a bittul midin hefker, hold in the first day that bittul is also going to be mekayim tashbisu? In what way does hefker destroy the chetzah of chametz to say that there's a kiyum in tashbisu? So the answer to this question, we'll see this is meduyuk in the Achiezer's understanding of the Ran as well, is that up until now we've been assuming that tashbisu is a mitzvah of the kum va'aseh variety. To say that the mitzvah of tashbisu requires the person to go ahead and to actively destroy the chametz. And therefore, within such a perspective, it doesn't make any sense to say that bittul midin hefker can be mekayim tashbisu, because in no way does bittul midin hefker destroy the chametz from any angle, bein psychological, bein physical. But there's a group of mefarshim, a group of rishonim, who say that no. The nature of the mitzvah's asay of tashbisu is not a kumva asay, but is rather, fill in the blank, what's the contrast between a kumva asay? Is an Isra Aseh. When an Aseh is an Isra Aseh, that basically means that when the Torah says to do something, the focus of the Torah is not on the act, but is rather to stay away from the inaction. By that it means that when the Torah says to destroy the chametz, what the Torah is really saying is don't have the chametz around. And according to the perspective that the mitzvah's asay of tashbisu is really an isra asay. So in essence, the isra asay of tashbisu is merely merely overlaps with bayar baymatze. Sorry, but the lav and the bayar baymatze tell us don't have chametz in your rishus. Then the isra asay of tashbisu says not only do you have two lavin telling you not to have it in your rishus, you also have an isra asay on top of the two lavin telling you not to have it in your rishus. So if the Ran adopts that perspective to Tashbisu, that Tashbisu in essence is just an Isra Aseh, which merely overlaps with Bayar Bay Matzeh, so then your Mekayim Tashbisu any time you circumvent, you neutralize Bayrai Bayamatze. And therefore, the fact that Bitzel Midin Hefker neutralizes Bayrai Bayamatze, because once you don't own it, you're not going to violate Bayrai Bayamatze. So Hua Dinami, you're going to avoid the violation of the Tashpisu. And in essence, you can say you're Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Tashpisu, by not violating the Isra Aseh of Tashpisu, of having Chametz in your Rishus, because you're a Mafkir it. So in short, the answer is that if you take the Isra Aseh perspective on Tashpisu, so then you can justify why even the Bitzel Midin Hefker would be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Aseh of Tashpisu. And before I take your question, Ziv, if you don't mind, if you go back to the Achiezer, when the Achiezer, which we actually skipped in this year, because I didn't want to, it was a little complicated. But if you look very carefully at the Achiezer, again, it's on the back of the Makura sheets. If you look very carefully at the Achiezer, when he is explaining how the Ran's version of Bitul Midin Hefker, how that's Mekayim Tashpisu, he has a very interesting formulation, which I think confirms our analysis. Again, we're not going to go through the whole Achiezer because he has a different approach to the Ran. But again, when he says it, he's three lines down the Achiezer, he says, Mahani Habitl, this is towards the end of the line, Mahani Habitl, very important Lashon, Shelo Ya'avor Al Mitzvahs Aseh Di Tashpisu. So that Lashon of not violating the Mitzvahs Aseh of Tashpisu, right, if Tashpisu is a Kumba Aseh, you can't not violate that. It's either you do it or you don't do it. So if he says that Bitul works not to violate Tashpisu, the implication that the Achiezer is saying, the reason why the Ran thinks that Bitul Midin Hefker, however you explain the mechanics of it, the reason why Bitul Midin Hefker for the Ran is Mikayim Tashpisu, is because the nature of Tashpisu is an Isser Aseh, as seen from his formulation of not violating the Isser of Tashpisu. So again, I think the Achiezer's formulation of how the Ran's Bitul Midin Hefker is Mekayim Tashpisu, which he formulates in terms of not violating the Isra Aseh of Tashpisu, exactly confirms our analysis that the way in which a Bitul Midin Hefker could be Mekayim Tashpisu is, even though it doesn't destroy the Chametz in any way, is if you assume that the Aseh of Tashpisu is simply an Isra Aseh, which basically overlaps the Bayar Bayamatzeh, such that any time you get out of Bayar Bayamatzeh through something like Hefker, you're going to be Mekayim, the Aseh of Tashpisu. Yeah.
According to the Sorosan approach,
yeah.
Is it possible that the only reason Tashpisu is just the stakes of what's happening at Pesach? Like, why do you need such a...
Yeah, the simple understanding of what... I mean, you're saying... You're basically asking, why, if once you have two laven, why would you have Nisr? Yeah. So the idea would be... So the simple understanding is that it just... is that just like the notion of why you have, and some, you can always ask the question, why does certain Yisurim have two lavin? The simple idea is, you know, Kadesh Lav or Lav Bishayim, to add Chomer to it. So the simple understanding is that the Isra Aseh just adds Chomer. Not only do you violate two lavin by having Chomets around, you also violate an Isra in addition. That's the simple idea. There are other fancier Mahalchim, but that would be the simple idea. So it just adds Chomer to it.
Yes, I understand the answer we gave. Why in the first place would be such a hard thing to say that? What's the question on the round first person? Why can't we just say what's so hard about saying that Bitul Midin Hefker is the grant that he's in the first place?
Because Tashpisu, if Tashpisu is a Kumba Aseh, what does Tashpisu mean? Destroy it.
Right.
Destroy the Chametz. So how does being, what does a Hefker do? Hefker doesn't destroy the Chametz, it just says that it just takes it out of your ownership. So I'm saying, if you understand the mitzvah aseh of Tashpisu as a mitzvah kumba aseh of destroying the Chametz, so then you would seemingly need to destroy it in some way, either physically, or at the very least, Rashi's chiddush is that not only is the kumba aseh of Tashpisu physical destruction, it also includes a psychological destruction. Okay, but at least you're destroying it psychologically, but within the Bitul Midin Hefker approach, you're not even doing that. You're not destroying the cheftza of chametz in any way. You're leaving it intact in your mind and in the physical realm, and you're just saying, I don't own it anymore. So in what way does the maisa hefker or a bitul midin hefker in any way destroy the chametz?
Yeah. has to be some form of destruction. You can't just leave.
If it's a kumba assay, it needs to be some form of destruction. If it's an isra assay, then it's not telling you to destroy it. It's just telling you it can't be in your rishus.
Right.
So once it's all about not being in your rishus, then a ma'aseh hefker can obviate that. Yeah.
On the first round, is he going to...
In the first round, you said?
The first quarter of the round.
You mean the first day of the round?
The second day, which we get
first. Oh, okay,
where,
yeah.
Where's Kling Tosus?
Yeah.
He's going to the Supreme. Is that... Does he think that Tosus would hold that he's... He's going like the
Sefri,
or just within the rounds, Kiddush? Do you like that Sefri?
One more time?
Would Tosus also use the Sefri, or just the round?
Again, when he's quoting... You're saying, because Tosus doesn't really quote the Sefri.
Yeah,
Tosus quotes a different drasha.
So you don't need a drasha according to Tosus.
Well, you do. You need the makor of Shalcha Yatara. Meaning, the yesod that chametz was in, which is in your physical rishus, isn't subject to bayu by matzah as long as you don't own it. That also needs a drasha coming from lecha. There's a drasha of shalcha yataroa, v'ataroa shalachera.
Is there even the sefri as all one drasha as just examples of the same drasha?
No, they're a little different. The sefri has there's different drashas. They're all coming from lecha. But there are different takes on it, I think.
But the last one is not believe because it really means...
It sounds like, again, according to many, it sounds like it's a subjective idea. Which is different than the other ones, which are basically, you can... Which are just, as long as you don't have pilos, it's fine. Okay, fine. So Adkan is our, you know, our discussion, we'll call it impacted issue number one, which is whether Bitzel is Mekayim Tashbisu. I'd like to now start, at least... The second issue, which is section Gimel on the Marmakomos, which is the issue discussed by the Shonim as to whether Bittel works only on Chametz She'eno Yadua, whether Bittel only works on Chametz that you're not aware of, you're not aware about the whereabouts of such Chametz, or whether Chametz or the Bittel works on all Chametz, even Chametz, which is Yadua. So again, before getting to the evidence in the Gemaros and in the Rishonim, I'd like to just analyze the issue about whether, quickly analyze the issue about whether whether Bittel will work on Chametz Yadua from the perspective of the different approaches to Bittel. Again, that's what we're basically going to be doing, again, analyzing all these various issues within the, according, in light of the different approaches to Bittel. Oh. So if you think about it, if Bittel works Midin Hefker, what would you say about whether Bittel should work for Chametz Yadua?
Well, if you're taking it out of your rishus, so out of the matter if it's Yadua or not.
Exactly. And generally, what types of items are you mafkir?
Stuff that you know about.
You know, exactly. So it is, that is why it's very important to analyze all these issues in light of the mahalchim, the nature of Bittel. If Bittel is midin hefker, so then of course Bittel should work on Chametz Yadua, because... Hefker itself works on items you know about. The whole point of Hefker is that I don't want to own this item anymore, so I'm going to be mafker it. So if Bittel works midin Hefker, so then since Hefker works on items which are Yadua, so then it's the Dover Pashut that Bittel should work on items which are Yadua. And as we'll see, as far as I found, there is no Rishon who adopts the Bittel midin Hefker approach who says that Bittel doesn't work on Chametz Yadua. Based on this analysis, it would be impossible. It doesn't make any sense to say that that Bittel midin Hefker wouldn't work on Chametz Yadua, because just look at the source of Hefker. Hefker works on items which are Yadua, so therefore, Hua Dinami, Bittel, if Bittel works midin Hefker. But where this becomes an issue is within the approach of Afra Da'ara. And the analysis goes as follows. It's an open question, but here is going to be the issue. If the perspective of Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara is all about the fact that you relate to the Chametz as insignificant, that you don't relate to it as Chametz, you relate to it as dirt, and in your mind it's so insignificant, it's merely dirt. So then the question arises, in the case of Chametz Yadua, when you're Mevatel, a piece of Chametz which is sitting in front of you, right, does the fact that it's Yadua and you have the capability of physically destroying it, the fact that you opt out of physically destroying it and you rather perform Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara, maybe, according to some Mefarshim, maybe the fact that you don't take the readily available option of destroying it might be a chisraron in your bittel midin afar da ara. Because, perhaps, if you really relate it to the chametz as dirt, as you say you do through your bittel midin afar da ara, so then why wouldn't you take the opportunity which is in front of you and merely destroy the chametz? If it's really dirt, so then prove it by burning it and making it into ashes and dirt. So says Sir Mefarshim, the fact that you don't avail yourself of the option of beer on the chametz yadua, maybe that's a chisaron in the bittel, and says really, maybe you don't really have a full-fledged, genuine bittel of afar da'ara. But the other approach is going to say, no, I can have a sufficient perspective of afar da'ara, even if I don't, you know, take the option of burning it. So again, in short, the analysis goes as follows. Within bittel midin hafker, it's not a shiloh. There's no question. For sure, bittel should even work by chametz yadua, just like hafker does. But within the bittel of afar da'ara, it's an open question as to whether the fact that you don't avail yourself of biur on the chametz yadua, does that undermine the genuine nature of your bittel midin afar da'ara to say that, no, you must not really, you know, relate to the chametz as afar da'ara, because if you did, you would avail yourself of that option. So that's an open question as to whether the fact that you're not taking the option of biur, whether that is, you know, migareya, whether that, you know, sufficiently, you know, undermines the genuine nature of your bittel midin afar da'ara. That's the general analysis. Yeah.
Why is it concerning my conception of this comment that I'm not about to, like, my wood tooth that I just wasted on burning this dust too? Like,
one more time?
Why? Because I think that this is dust, should I now burn this dust? Like,
okay, good. So this is, yeah, as we discussed in Seder. So you could add to this and possibly say the fact that there's also a potential of, like, let's say, a kiyum of tashbisu at play through, you know, through actively destroying it, like the Kuli Alma, could be the fact that you're, you know, not going that route. Maybe that's what really, you know,
if you don't hold it, you wouldn't.
Perhaps. I'm not sure about that part. But we have to work. Oh, it actually works out because Rabbeinu Manoach is one of the people who holds this Yisod, holds that Bitzel Midin Afar Da'ara would not be Mekayim Tashbisu. Right, so for him, the fact that you're foregoing, you know, the biur, the physical biur, which would be Mekayim Tashbisu, right? Maybe that, again, that would work for the Rabbeinu Manoach. The other Shita is a Girsa in the Rambam. So it's not going to work so well for the Rambam because the Rambam clearly holds that Bittel Midin Afar Da'ara would be Mekayim Tashbisu. So we're going to have to, you know what I'm saying? And if the whole reason why, right, you should have taken the option of biur is because, oh, you're also going to be Mekayim the mitzvah Saseh of Tashbisu, you could have said that svara only applies, that the only way to be Mekayim the Tashbisu is through the physical destruction. But if you think that the, you know, the Bittel Midin Afar Da'ara also is Mekayim Tashbisu, so then that svara is a little weaker. So we still have to need a little work for why, you know, why you should opt for the physical beer over the Bittel Midin Afar Da'ara for the Rama. Is that a hand or an elbow? So again, we'll get to the shittos. For the Rambam, again, this is all based on a girsa of the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam. According to that girsa, the Rambam, he's going to say that, you know, he says that bittel is not going to work on chametz yadua, even though the Rambam clearly holds that bittel midin afar da'ara is mekayim tashbisu. So we're going to need some words. Somehow, Kesef Mishnah still thinks that the fact that you have this option of biur, you should still, you know, for some reason, opt for that first.
Because if you do biur, then there's no other problems of, like, Shavu Yochal or anything else.
Okay, maybe. So maybe the fact that biur has any benefit, has other alternative benefits, maybe that's the reason. Okay, that could work also. You hear that, Fred?
I heard it.
You heard it. Physically.
Yeah.
Objectively, not subjectively. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So okay, I'm saying the same thing as Ephraim. Could it be a concern in your mental if you know about chametz and if you really relate to it as afar da'ara, why would I waste my time burning it? Am I saying the same thing as Ephraim?
Yeah. It's a good question. So we're trying to answer that by saying you have to explain why there would be additional benefits to biur. So one suggestion, my original suggestion, which works for Rabbeinu Manoach, not for the Rambam, is that the additional benefit of physical destruction is that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah Saseh of Tashbisu.
really need physical destruction, though, you don't look at it as afadagra.
What?
If you really need physical destruction, though, you don't really truly relate to it as afadagra.
Wait, what do you mean if you really need...
If I have dust in my, on my floor, I don't necessarily go and burn it.
Correct, but again, I guess, but you could say the fact that you have this opportunity to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, to say of Tashbisu, so we're saying if you really were in tunes with Chametz and you really related to it as dust, then why wouldn't you also be Mekayim, the mitzvah, to say of Tashbisu? Maybe the fact that you're not is because you really don't want to destroy it, because you really don't. That would be the idea. Or, you know, Yoni's suggestion, which is, even if in both cases you'd be Mekayim Tashbisu, right, the fact that you have this opportunity to get out of a Chashash Achila, and yet you don't, maybe you don't really care, you know, so much about, you know, Chametz, you're not really relating to it, is Afadat. Okay, so again, that was analysis, again, within Bitul Midin Hefker and Bitul Midin Afadara. So now let's look, before looking at the Rishonim, it's very important to look at the cases of the Gemara. Let's track now, based on all the times, my limited knowledge, all the times in the Gemara, that the Gemara discusses cases of Bittul. So now, let's see, are those cases of Chametz Yadua or Chametz She'ina Yadua? Right? If you ever want to figure out, you know, based on the evidence, and see the evidence in the Gemara about whether Bittul really is limited to Chametz She'ina Yadua or whether it also applies to Chametz Yadua, so let's look at the cases in the Gemara. Let's look at the cases where the Gemara basically says that Bittul is appropriate, and let's see what types of cases they are, and we'll see whether these cases will shed light on the scope of when Bittul applies. Oh. So starting off with the case of Bittul on Chametz She'ina Yadua, which is the Pasha case, everyone's going to agree that Bittul is going to work on Chametz you don't know about. So the one case of Bittul in the Gemara where it's specifically talking about Chametz She'ina Yadua is on Vav Amid Beis, right? This is the Gemara we keep on coming back to, right? This is the member of Amr Yudah Marav, which says, Abodek Sarach Shivata, which basically says that after you do Bedika, and you find all the Chametz that you know about, the Gemara says, Rav says, you should still do Bittul at this point. Lamaskana, the reason is because maybe there's a piece of Chametz, which you don't know about now, but you will come in contact with on Pesach, i.e., Shema Yimtza, Gluska Yafe, you know, v'chulei. But at the time that you do Bittul, following your Bedika, Leil Yudalit, at that point, the Bittul is working on Chametz She'ina Yadua. So again, if the only Gemara you had, the only application in the Gemara of Bittul was this, you would say, so all you know is that Bittul works B'chi HaGavna in a case where Chametz is Eina Yadua. Right? Because here, at least, the case of Bittul is where you don't know about Chametz, and the Bittul is referring to Chametz that you don't know about. So again, if you stop there and you didn't see any other Gemaras, you would say, all you know is that Chametz, that Bittul works in Chametz and Yadua. But we're going to see that there are a number of Gemaras which seem to apply Bittul even to cases which appear to be Chametz Yadua. Yeah.
So you pointed out to me, what about the Chimish Kachas Leilavah?
Oh, bring it to me. That's going to be on our list. Good. We're sure to bring that up. But now we're going to bring up the total. Four cases in the Gemara, where the Gemara / Mishnayos / Braisios, right, bring up the option of Bittul, even in cases which appear to be Chametz Yadua, which therefore seem to be slammed on Grios, that Bittul works even on Chametz Yadua. Let's go through it quickly. First example is, you know, to turn in pages, on Zayin Amud Aleph. Again, Zayin Amud Aleph, like seven lines down, right? This is the Tanya of the Yoshev Beis HaMedrash. Chesky, would you mind reading for us?
When this guy sees Chametz at the cell place, so if someone's making a Bishmanish and he remembers that he has Chametz in his house, the Vasil Bliba.
Right. So case number one is, you, the whole point is that you remember there's Chametz Yadua, you remember they have Chametz in my closet. Braisa says, Bittul works in this case. So this seems to be Raya number one, that's from the clear-cut Braisa, that Bittul works in Chametz Yadua. Raya number two, again, a lot of these are brought up by Rishonim. I'm just trying to work in the chronological order, you know, Gemara and then Rishonim. If you turn to Memtes Amud Aleph, there's a very important Mishnah of Memtes Amud Aleph, actually the second Mishnah of Memtes Amud Aleph, which similarly has an example of Bittul in a case of Chametz Yadua. Where's another Raya? Daniel, would you mind? The case of a holech lishchot. I'm sorry, Daniel. Mr. Danny. Daniel Zellis?
Sorry.
Well, yeah, Mem Tessa Manala? It's what's the case? You're going. Right, you're traveling to do a mitzvah. Good.
So if you can accomplish both things,
exactly.
Then accomplish both things.
If you can't go back, then batulibo. Another example. The whole point is, again, you remember the of chametz. It's chametz yadua, and yet the Mishnah suggests bittul, that bittul would work in such a case. Ah, raya number two, seemingly. Raya number three comes back to Yehuda's, you know, example, which the going back to vavamim base, right, based on the hemshech of the Gemara. Right, when the Gemara, after the Gemara suggests the reason why you should do bittul belel yudalad is because, right, lest gzerasha yimsa gluska yafa v'daitelave. The Gemara says, what's the following question? Yehuda? What's the next word? Libatle. The Gemara says, why do bittul belel yadalit in our terminology when at which point the chamit is in a yadua? Just do bittul once you find it. Yet another example in the Gemara, where the Gemara is saying that you can do bittul once you find the chamit and it's yadua to you. So again, so you have Zayinam and Aleph, a Braisa, Memtesam and Aleph, a Mishnah. And now a Gemara, again, all seemingly applying the mechanism of Bittul in cases which are clearly Yadua. And now the last of the Rayos is a Mishnah, again, a Lamed Aleph, Amid Beis. This again is a very important Mishnah which we referenced in the Marshal in our first Sugya. It's a very important Mishnah about Chametz Shenafla Alav Mapolas. Benny, would you mind? Do you have it? Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Is the Mishnah, no problem.
Chametz Shenafla Alav
Mapolas. So what does that mean?
Chametz that falls on top of
It's like a mound of rubble. So it's basically it's under a mound of rubble. It's inaccessible. You can't find it. So what does the Mishnah say?
Right.
It's as if it's destroyed. Which again, that was the Marshal. The Marshal. It's because maybe you don't know about it, you don't see it. Whatever it is. Skip to the Gemara.
I wrote this on Sarah Shea Beth Abliba.
Oh. The Gemara says that it says Rav Chisda, even though Midah Oraisa, there's no Bari Matzeh because Hari Yukum before, there's still a Dinder Rabbanan to do Bittul. But yet, and this is an example, you know it's under there. You know there's chametz under the rubble. And yet, Rav Chisda is saying, do bittul. So at first glance, if you just saw all these gemaras, you know, you would say, it's not even a shaila. Right? Granted, there's one example of chametz in yadua, but that alone doesn't tell you anything. Everyone agrees to that. The fact you have four, you know, combination of Brisios, Mishnayos, and a Gemara, which all seem to apply bittul to cases of chametz yadua, it seems like it's very clear that of course bittul applies to chametz yadua. It seems like it's a, you know, open and shut case. But yet, we're going to see that this is going to be a machlokes rishonim, and we're going to see that the rishonim who adopt the approach and say that no, bittul doesn't work on chametz yadua, they're somehow going to neutralize all these rayos and say, although they seem to be in the category of yadua, they're really in the category of in yadua. I guess it's not worth starting right now, so we'll stop here and we'll pick up, not tomorrow because tomorrow is trip day, but Wednesday night with the shitos and the rishonim regarding this issue of chametz yadua.
All right.
That's okay.